Now, you're sitting here in this anointing today. So what we're going to do is, today I'm going to start telling you some of the dream symbols that we've given that are attached to the soul. That's what I'm going to do in this session. And next session, we're going to take you through the all three steps of healing your soul and show you how all those dream symbols can take you and guide you through each and every step to a complete healing and a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. Amen? And we're going to share with you many of the biblical symbols that we've received that are completely connected to the soul, because I'm believing that you're sitting underneath our anointing so that these symbols are now going to become very personal to you. And that right away, because you're starting to learn the language of these symbols, as you're learning the language of these symbols, that you're going to be able to interpret them yourselves. So when they come to you after this, as you're on the quest, when you go home to get your soul healed, that you'll understand them and you'll have the head start. You won't be like us having to go, oh, I got 500 choices and I wonder what it means. That you'll already have sat underneath this impartation and you can move really quickly into getting your soul healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So some of the symbols I'm going to show you today include mountains, houses, rooms, closets, hallways, doors, windows, curtains, rain, trains, bathrooms, sunglasses, corpses, tombs. And you're going to be completely surprised at how all of these symbols, practically all of them, are directly connected to your soul and how they'll take you through all three steps to getting your soul healed and to you getting the victory. Hallelujah. So in this session, now the rest of the session, I'm just going to set a foundation of explaining some symbols for you so that next session we can lead you on the how to do it thing, okay? All right. So let's start out with the mountain. Right before we first ever receive the revelation about how the light, the glory light of Jesus heals your soul, a couple of our team members had dreams of mountains. One team member dreamt that she was sailing smoothly along in her little sailboat, all happy, and suddenly she came up against this rocky, barren mountain. And no matter how she tried to sail around it, she couldn't. And she was so frustrated, and she was crying out to God in her dream, God, how do I get around this mountain? And when she woke up from the dream, she said, tell me how. And he said this to her, pray for it to rain so that the water level can rise and you can float over it. Then a little while after that, our media director, John Mulquin, had a mountain dream. He and his family, there they were in their cars, sailing smoothly along with no problems. And suddenly this big, rocky, barren mountain was in front of them. And behind it, there was a war going on. Bombs exploding, rockets going off, gunfire, everything. And this big plane, was it a bomber or a regular airline, John? This big bomber, I guess a B-52 bomber, was flying towards the mountain to drop a bomb over it. And it went up, and as it got to the face of the mountain, there was like this invisible force field there that would not let it penetrate. And the plane literally bounced off of this force field and crashed. Now, John is not the biggest of dreamers. But he does have some dreams, and he said that was probably one of the most vivid dreams he's ever had in his life. Okay, there it is. Two impenetrable mountain dreams. And I knew God was trying to tell us something mountainous. And it was blocking our way. So I needed to know what it was. So what did I do? I first went to my three sources, right? And so I went to the Bible online thing and put in the keyword search. Typed in the word mountain, and 301 scriptures came up. I'm a real busy girl. How many of you know that? It's kind of hard for me to research. I've done it before, but to research 301 in one sitting is a little tough. And then I went to the dictionary, and again, another list of definitions came up for the word mountain. Then I went to a couple of prophetic dictionaries. In the prophetic dictionaries, it just made it worse, kind of. Because it said that it's, quote, a place of meeting with God, the presence of God. It's symbolic of the place where people meant to worship their false gods. It was symbolic of governments. That's why the meetings of high governments are called summits. It meant to escalate to wealth. It could mean a significant change in your life for the better. It could mean that you were facing a challenge like climbing a mountain. And the list went on and on. And pretty soon I had that dreaded list to pick from. But I knew the two things, eh? That the Holy Spirit was going to show me which one was for us. And I believe that God was going to take that symbol of the mountain and customize it so powerfully to us that when he brought that customization, it would just, boom, explode a revelation that would cause us to have complete understanding. Amen? So here's a tip. When you get a dream that you know is important that you don't quite understand, you do three things. You first look up your lists, right? Okay, you get your options. Number two, you begin to pray into the Holy Spirit pointing out which one is for you. You begin to pray into understanding, because how many of you know God wants you to know? He does. He wants you to know what it means. Amen? So that you can have the victory. And then number three, you can do what you can do. You can do what you can do. What do I mean by that? Our first team member had this dream, and when she came out and she said, Lord, how do I get around that mountain? And he said, pray for it to rain so that the water level can rise and you can float over it. Well, there's a pretty easy direction to follow. Every one of you is going to have a dream with something in it that you can just begin to pray for. So I began to simply do that. I began to pray for rain, even though I had no clue what the mountain was and no clue what the rain symbolized either. We just began to pray for it to rain, and we prayed for it to rain, and we prayed for it to rain, and we prayed for understanding, and we prayed for it to rain, and then it started to rain. We started to have revelation about the wounded soul. So we prayed for it to rain, and we started getting revelation, started understanding about the wounded soul. You see, we were moving in this very, very powerful revelation about demonic kings, and we knew it was hot. We knew it was hot. We were seeing people healed of ocular eye disease, and curses being lifted off their body, and chronic body pain, and we even saw pus dying, and viruses instantly being healed. We knew it was awesome that Jesus had downloaded something powerful, but we weren't seeing as much fruit as we wanted, so we knew there was something blocking it. And so now Jesus started giving us this revelation about the soul, and he said, that's half your problem, is the soul man, because demonic powers still have the right to be on the soul as long as there are wounds on the soul created by sin. So we began to get this revelation, and we began to get understanding about how the glory light of Jesus can heal the wounded soul. And we began to carve out a realm of that. And then suddenly one day, the Lord brought it all together with me about the mountain. I woke up and he told me, I want you to read Zechariah chapter 4. I literally opened up my Bible and I remember looking right down at this verse, and this is what it said. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple, before him you shall become a molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. As soon as I read that, I knew exactly what that mountain was. It's the mountain of the soul, baby. The mountain of the soul was the impenetrable mountain that everyone has been dealing with. And I knew it because when I read that story, it just exploded that revelation inside me. And I'll tell you what was going on with this story. Zerubbabel was an exile who did time in Babylon. He was an inmate. He was a prisoner. And he and the rest of the Israelite captives who had served 70 years behind bars in Babylon had just come home from their imprisonment, and they went home to Jerusalem on a mission. God sent them home and commanded them to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians had burnt down 7 years prior to this. While they were trying to build, they ran into all kinds of human opposition from the people that were outside of Jerusalem that didn't want them to move back. Don't be moving back in our territory, okay? This is ours. You guys don't belong here up in here. Y'all haven't been here for 70 years. What are you doing back? We're going to do everything we can to stop you. And human obstacles from inside the ranks, because it got so difficult and the journey was so weary that their souls just literally got wounded from trying to rebuild the temple, and they stopped building it. Zerubbabel and all the people stopped building the temple for 18 years. They abandoned the project that God put in their hands. And they went and they started working on their own projects. They started building their own homes and focusing on their own lives. What happened? When they were trying to rebuild the temple, the problems that they ran into were coming from the, quote, mountain of the soul of human obstacles. The mountain of human obstacles. The issues they faced were coming from the wounds inside people's soul. Attitudes and problems springing up out of people from their soul. And notice this, what were they doing when all these mountain of human obstacles rose up? They were rebuilding the temple. What is the temple? We are the temple. We are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Your body and your soul house the Spirit of God. And the mountain of human obstacles that Zerubbabel was coming up against came up as he was trying to rebuild the temple. You are that temple now. God was prophetically speaking to me. He was prophetically speaking to me through that dream. Because you know what? That mountain is the soul. Because I'm telling you what, that's the key thing we've been missing this whole time. We've been wondering why we couldn't win the battle with the demonic. It was the soul. We've been wondering why we couldn't get that healing. We went to every big healing, big shot person with an anointing, and they lay hands on us, and we didn't get well. Why? Because we had a wound in our soul. We've been praying, believing, fasting, giving, tithing our little faces off, being so faithful and waiting and waiting and waiting for the financial breakthrough and wondering why it wasn't coming, because it was a wound in our soul. The mountain of the soul. That's exactly what the soul is, baby. It's a big old mountain of problems, a big old mountain of wounds. That was the impenetrable mountain that we kept on seeing in our dream. And now I had a new symbol, the symbol of the temple. Because as we began to get this revelation about the glory and the light being able to heal our temple, we were all having these dreams about houses and hallways and bathrooms and rooms and closets. Do you know what one of the definitions of the word closet is? It is a small private room, one especially used for prayer and meditation. See all those symbols we were getting in our dreams of houses and closets and hallways and bathrooms? It represented the temple. It was showing us, I'm showing you through your dream what you're dealing with. I'm trying to get your temple cleaned up. And you know what? That's what it is. Our temple is supposed to be used for, quote, prayer and meditation. But inside of our soul, in our temple, are all these rooms, and they're full of soul wounds. And I'm telling you what, it's really hard to worship the Lord and pray without your mind getting distracted and everything else when you're being besieged and plagued by a soul wound and the demonic that's attached to it that's tormenting your mind at the same time. Right? Remember when I got the healing of the wounds in Virginia when the spirit of Legion made my body sick? Where were those wounds hiding? In a bunch of closets. They were in the rooms that were supposed to be used for prayer and worship to God, and they got healed. I tell you what, now I could sit and worship for hours without getting my mind distracted anymore. Because my soul is getting healed. My closets don't have wounds inside of them blocking my prayer and worship towards God. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, now here's another tip for you to unwind your dreams. And this one's going to be harder than the others. Ready? Know your Bible. Listen to me very carefully. If you know all the stories in the Bible, including these stories in the Old Testament, everybody, hello. Then God can take those stories and totally parallel them to what's happening to you right now in modern day. He can take what's going on in your life and show it to you exactly in a story that happened in the Old Testament. You're like, wow, that's exactly what's happening to me right now. And as he applies your situation to that story, full detailed revelation will come out of it. The kind of revelation that completely eliminates confusion. You don't go, what's going on? What do I do? How come this isn't going away? How can I make this happen? I'm praying. I'm worshiping. What am I doing wrong? Huh? God will tell you. He will give you complete detailed revelation through that story. You see, when I read that scripture about Zerubbabel, it was like, you know why I got the deep revelation of it? Because I know the story. I've read the story. As soon as I read that one scripture, I knew the complete story. And so I got a full detailed revelation about the mountain being the soul and the temple being the soul and how God's going to send grace to it. And that mountain of the soul will become a molehill. Amen. As we rebuild the temple. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know what else I love about that whole thing? Remember how we talked about the symbols being very personal to you? God will customize them to you just like he did to Pharaoh, the cupbearer and the baker. That scripture was completely personalized to me. I mean, come on. Zerubbabel is an ex-con coming out of imprisonment in Babylon, and he's coming on to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Here I am, an ex-con coming out of imprisonment in Babylon, and I'm coming, and my mission too is to rebuild the temple of every soul of every person I can get my hands on, including my own. Hallelujah. Those symbols became very personal to me. All right, so read your Bible and expect God to speak to you in a personal way.